All right. Let's go back over to Matthew chapter 3. Last Wednesday, we had visited this portion of Scripture. Just want to go back here real quick and, well, not necessarily real quick, but talk about a few things here tonight. You guys all doing good in the Lord? I just had to walk outside and grab something. Man, I forgot my jacket. It's cold out there. So, it's nice and warm in here. Feels really good. So, in verse 10, we were talking about some of the interactions there that John the Baptist was having. Remember, with the Pharisees, he's calling them out and putting the word of God to them. And then he begins to say in verse 11 that I baptize you with water unto repentance. So, we talked a lot last week about what is beyond that. You know, what is beyond the first principles of the doctrine of Christ? Repentance is a wonderful thing. But is there more to this than just finding repentance? Let me ask you this. Is there more to this than just being saved? Is that God's only intent here? His only purpose? Or is there something more than that? Because we taught a few weeks ago in Ephesians there about the fivefold ministry and about the work of that ministry and bringing us to the perfection of the fullness of the stature of Christ. What Paul said was unto a perfect man, and I put a little spin there on it, and I actually dug into that word. It was into a perfect man. Which makes a lot of sense, right? Because in those first principles, you have repentance, and then what's number two? What's the second work? Faith. What's the third? Okay, you see? So this is a progression, a wonderful progression. But if you were to stall on just repentance or get stuck on faith toward God, do you catch that? Faith toward God. Could you be walking in faith or have faith toward God, but not be in? I mean, I'm asking you a simple question, but really it's profound. So there's more to it than some of the basic things that we talk about sometimes, isn't there? So why do we get stuck in something like repentance? Do you really think it takes 10 years to repent? To be delivered of a curse and for you to spin your wheels wondering who you are in God and struggling whether or not God even loves you? Do you believe that's the mind of God, or does God have something other for you? He has something other. And has it been spoken to you? It has, hasn't it? So when you go past faith, then you've got baptism. So it's very important that these words of God are washing you. And John says very clearly, I baptize you with water, but there is one that's coming after me that is mightier than I am. Think about that for a minute. John the Baptist, who Jesus said is the greatest prophet born among women in the kingdom of God. Think about that. This guy is now saying, I do a great work here. This is a great work to baptize you unto repentance, but there is one coming that is mightier than I am. And when he baptizes you, how's it going to be? Holy Ghost and fire. All right? He said he's going to baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. He said his fan is in his hand. He's going to thoroughly purge his floor. When he's talking about his floor, we're talking about the house of God, aren't we? Because we talked about Peter when he received the revelation of Jesus Christ from the Father that he is the Son of the Almighty God. The Father gave that to him. And what did Jesus in return say to Peter? Upon this, help me out here, upon this rock, I'm going to build my church. Is that the floor he's talking about? Does not the Hebrew writer say that judgment must first begin in the house of God? So what is God's concern here? What is God after? Is God not after filling his house? Is God not after defining not only who his house is, what his house is, the spirit, the soul, the body of it, the whole thing, but he's after correcting the thing that caused the fall of it. He's after restoring it. He's after healing it. And when he's done those things, he is after filling it. And what's he going to fill it with? Well, John makes it pretty clear here, doesn't he? He says, with that fire, I'm going to purge. He's going to purge his floor, and he's going to gather the wheat. A lot of times when we think about fire, we think it in a negative precept. But it can be a powerful, wonderful, beautiful precept because Hebrews says our God is a consuming fire. Now you think about that for a minute because that's a two-edged sword, isn't it? Can it go both ways? It can consume you in the positive, meaning it can burn you up and cause you to become a burning one. Or it can consume and destroy the thing that is antichrist against God's will and plan. Imagine that. How could the word of God be so? How could the word of God be preached and in one aspect it burn you? Kind of be like a serpent. In God's world, a serpent is a good thing. It's a heavenly thing. It's a heavenly creature, a living creature. But if that thing was speaking to you and you didn't understand its word or its intent, you didn't understand the good it had for you, and you were in the carnal mind receiving or perceiving that word, what could that good word of God do to you? Could it harm you? Is that God's intent? It wouldn't be God's intent, is it? God's intent would be to minister to you truth, to save you, to deliver you, to heal you, to change you, to cause you to become the creature itself. Now, that's an amazing thing right there. How many want to be a new creature? See, this word of God is sent to us from heaven to change us, to heal us, to deliver us. That's why it visited us. That's why Jesus visited the churches. That's why he visited the earth. He brought a word from his Father, from God. He brought that word of truth. He is that truth. And it changed some to good and changed some to what? He said to the Pharisees, you're going to receive a greater damnation because you have not received my word. You have rejected my word and you want to kill me. Think about that, Keith. You want to kill me, he said. Abraham is not so. Abraham is a good word of God. In other words, Abraham heard my word, heard the promise of the Lord, and rejoiced in it. He rejoiced when he saw my day. Could that be you? Could the word of God come to you and visit you and anoint you and quicken you and change you, and you rejoice at the receiving of the word of the Lord? What about the day of the Lord? Could the day of the Lord come to you and be a blessing? Could the day of the Lord come to you and be a curse? Are you following what I'm saying? I'm telling you that this two-edged sword that we're handling has the power to heal. It has the power to destroy. The word of a serpent has the power to heal. Look at Isaiah 6, man. I didn't know I was going to go here tonight, but here it is. Isaiah 6, what was it from the coal of the altar by way of the seraphim? What did it do for Isaiah? Isaiah came before the presence of the Lord in the house of God. I mean a heavenly, holy place. And he said, I am undone. I am unclean. I am like the people. I see the error of my ways is what Isaiah was saying. I realize now being in this holy place, I realize the uncleanness in me, the unholiness in me. You know, that's what the Spirit of God does. Man, when the Word of God visits you, it can reveal the thing that is unholy. You know why? Because it is holy, Keith. It's like that priest that separates between clean and unclean, holy and unholy. The Word of God comes to us, and instead of receiving that Word of God as a blessing sent by God to purge, to cleanse, to sanctify us, And I'll just give you a little hint here. You sanctify the word of the Lord, it'll sanctify you. Did you just hear what I said? All you got to do is give God praise, give God glory, sanctify his name, exalt his name, glorify him. When that word of God came to Isaiah, it showed himself to be undone because he saw the great magnitude of the glory of God. He saw the seraphs, and as soon as he cried out unto the Lord, he didn't receive that. That wasn't what you think. That wasn't Isaiah professing condemnation or professing, oh my God, I'm going to be destroyed in this place. No, 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 no. The word of God simply revealed his present status, Keith. It revealed that he was not clean. That's what it revealed to him. But with the same knowledge that the thing that could cleanse him, he was in the presence of that too. Does that not make sense, man? That is awesome. You come to the house of God, and sometimes there's so much carnality and so much weakness in the mind. When the word of God that's sent to direct you, to prophesy to you, to quicken you, to make you alive, to heal you, to cleanse you, to save you, and you hear a word, and because the carnal mind is hearing that word, the carnal mind is perceiving that word of God, it bites you and puts you into a condemnation that is intended to bring you into captivity and death. That's the mind of the devil. That's his will. That's his desire for you. But that's not the word God sent. Now, I'm not talking right now about those that were in rebellion that God did send serpents to. I'm not dealing with that aspect of it at this moment. I'm dealing with how we perceive the word of God. And John made it so very clear here. When he comes, he's going to take that fan, he's going to provoke that fire, he's going to stir that fire with great intent to purge his floor, to bring judgment to the house of God. Paul dealt with it very clearly. Man, there's so many examples that we could give. The adultery and the fornication and the lasciviousness, people sleeping with their I hate to even say it. It's probably not even. I got to remember which one I want to go after. Their father's wives, their own daughters. There's fornication and adultery happening, and Paul said these things should not be happening in the church. This is unacceptable. This is why we need the word of God. The word of God is intended to reveal our sin. We should not be surprised when the word of God visits us with intent to correct, to reprove, to instruct. When the word of God comes to us, it's coming with intent to bring us into prophecy, not only to save us, but to seal us by the power of the Holy Ghost, to fill us, to change us, to baptize us. And sometimes the thing that stands in the way of that happening is the sin God come to deal with. So don't be surprised when the word of the Lord visits you and sin is revealed. That's when those first works begin to come into play. That's what Jesus told the first angel in Ephesus. He said, you need to repent. You need to go and do your first works again. You need to find your first love because you've lost it. You've left it. You left it to follow your own will, your own desire. Something got awry in that church, in that temple. In other words, it was now a defiled building. It was a defiled temple. It was a defiled church, Keith. In other words, the entity, the being himself, was now beginning to be defiled. Only fire can purge that. Only truth can change that. Only the anointing can break those powers. But instead of that angel hearing that word of God and allowing that word of God to provoke him to righteousness, to holiness, I mean, you think about it for a second. And I know the answers. Well, if I was to stop for a few minutes and take answers across the room, the answers would be across the board. But I'm going to tell you, I myself have done the same thing. So do not take this in condemnation. But I promise you, when the word of God has come forth, man, there's been times that God has visited us with great intent And if we would have just heeded to the word of God and turned from the errors of our way at that moment, the visitation of God would have taken hold and the change would have began. The breaking of that curse would have began. In other words, it was God's intent at that time of visitation to change you. How many times, like I said last week, has God visited us and we missed that day of visitation? How many times, I can tell you in my life, many times, God has visited, knocked on the door, and I would not. Why? You say, what? And what I was referencing to earlier is that a lot of times we want to say, no. If God really visited me and really talked to me straight, I would change. It would work. It would make up my mind, and I would go, instead of going left, I would go right. I would repent. I would do the right thing. If I told you, though, we've had parables among us where that did happen and it didn't change. It did not correct the error. It did not cause a change of direction. It did not bring to repentance. It did not bring to the place of cleansing. You say, well, I can't believe that the word of God would come to me and I would ever refuse it. But what if I told you we have? We have refused it. But don't worry. Take no fear on that. Because by the time God gets done, everything that we've spoken to you, everything Jesus has spoken to you, that we simply mediate to you by way of him, is going to come to pass. So wherever you are in God, wherever you are in the day of that visitation, if the word of God has visited you, say it's visited you three different times and you would not, there will be another. Could that be delayed? Absolutely. But eventually, in prophecy, God is going to win this thing. You are going to become what God has destined you to be. As much as the devil will try to stop it, as much as he will try to convince you against it, the word of the Lord cannot lie. The devil's a liar, not Jesus. Jesus is the truth. So if Jesus, Julie, says that you're going to make it, then you're going to make it. Period. End of sentence. No matter how many antichrist thoughts in you oppose that, I'm telling you the truth of it is that what God said is going to come to pass. Nothing the devil can do about it. He might slow it down. He might delay it. He might distract you. He might lead you left when you should have went right. But trust me, God's going to get you there. You guys understand what I'm saying? So there's a benefit to the fire. There's a benefit to this purging. You need Jesus. You don't want to get stuck in an Old Testament mindset. And I say it that way because a lot of people have dealt with that for many, many years. They actually think there's a difference between the Old and the New Testament. And they think that because they're in the Old Testament, that they're in a limited place. You know what they're really thinking? They're really thinking that when we talk about things like the Holy Ghost and faith and power in Mark 16, these signs shall follow them that believe, that you're not ready for those. You're not worthy of those. You're not at that place because you're back here somewhere. You're in Sarah, or you're in Abraham, or you're in Joshua, or you're in Moses. Let me tell you something, guys. From the very beginning of the book of Genesis, chapter 1, verse 1, in the beginning, God created. That is Holy Ghost. All of it, Keith. From Genesis to Revelation, it's all Holy Ghost. How did Abraham see his day if the Holy Ghost wasn't involved? How did the prophets see what they see? How did they dream what they dreamed? How did they vision what they visioned? How did they come to understand the things they did? I just gave you the example of Isaiah when he was in the presence of the Almighty God, and the seraph took the coal from off the altar and touched his lips and made him clean in a moment. That's Holy Ghost. That's Holy Ghost. That's Holy Ghost and fire. You say, well, wait a minute. Now, you just read where John said, he's coming. He's coming after me. Uh-huh. But yet, Abraham said, I've seen his day and rejoiced. How do you put all this together? Because I'm going to tell you, man, the Holy Ghost has been around forever. The Holy Ghost was involved in all of it. From the very beginning to the very end and everything in between. You can't take the Holy Ghost out of any of this. So what is the point? The point is the Holy Ghost is there, but if he's not working in your consciousness, you're simply not aware of it. You're just simply not aware of it. There might be a thought there. There might be a principle. There might be a religious doctrine. There might be a power and an authority. There might be a prince. There might be an enemy. There might be a devil that is in your thought, in your spirit, that has limited you in your ability to imagine the Holy Ghost of God. So what does the fire of God have to do? Does God have to come and visit you with the word and burn that out? Is that fire not what drives those enemies out? Did it not drive out that uncleanness in Isaiah? Did it not purge him and make him whole? It made him clean. And then what did it do, Keith? It turned around and anointed him. And when God said, who shall go for us? Isaiah said, I'll go. And God sent him to the people. That's what Holy Ghost does. That's what the anointing does. See, I think there's limitations in the mindset sometimes because we have been pre-programmed to think this thing in a specific order, but not in the order of God. We think sometimes that we've got the whole thing ordered out and I've got to do this step and I got to do this step and I got to do this step and then I can get this. When Jesus said over and over again, all you got to do is believe me, follow me. In fact, let's go over. Let me read you guys something here. Jesus himself said. He said in John 7, verse 36, actually verse 37. In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. Hold on now. Who did that get put upon? Jesus said very clearly, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and let him drink. Any limitation there? Any inhibition there? Any restriction? Any law? Any reason why if the Lord stood and cried and said, if you are thirsty, come and take a drink of me. Anything holding you back? Anything stopping you? I mean, in the truth of it, there's not, is there? So then what is? Something got in, something unclean, something defiled, some wrong teaching, some error, some thought got into your spirit and told you otherwise. As if you've got to do your own works to be good enough to receive Christ. My God, what a lie, man. What a lie. What did Isaiah do to get caught up in the spirit and see the throne of God? What did Isaiah do? You think Isaiah did anything? Isaiah didn't hit no magic button. And I'm telling you right now, man, that's a thought the devil put into the church, that there's some kind of magic button you're going to push to make all this happen. Let me tell you what the button is. The button is truth. It's what Jesus said. If any man thirst, and that includes you ladies, if you're thirsty, come and drink of me. If you're hungry, come and eat of me. And what did he say would happen? He said, if you are thirsty, come unto me and drink. He that believes on me, as the scripture has said. Let's talk about that for a minute. As the scripture hath said. You know how many times we've actually in the carnal mind used the scripture to make something what we want it to be or what we think it should be? There's 280 plus different denominations, Keith, that came from men's interpretation of Scripture. Who's right?
Jesus. Jesus is right. He's the only one I'm going to believe in it. Jesus is right. And where do you find Jesus? He said in Hebrews, lo, I come in the volume of the book. You know how to get yourself in trouble? Take one scripture. Try to build a doctrine. Try to build a precept. No, no, no. He said in the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word would be established, didn't he? So we're going to get the precepts of God's truth, God's holiness. And God starts adding line upon line and precept upon precept to bring you into an understanding. I love it in John 5 when John says, now we have an understanding. Because Jesus has come. Because Jesus has come. Not because we came, you came, I came. No, because Jesus came. Now, John said, we have an understanding. And he says here, he said, as the scripture have said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Living water. If there's living water, is there dead water? If there's holy water, then there's got to be unclean waters, isn't there? It'd be spirit waters regardless. But if you've ever been in the waters, you'll see. Some are clean, some are holy, some are unclean, some are unholy. Like those waters of Noah's flood, dark waters. And what's buried underneath those waters? Spirits of the dead in prison. They're imprisoned. You say, well, that doesn't sound fair. They made their choice. What? How would we go about that, Keith? Noah was a preacher of righteousness. Did the word of God get preached by Noah? Was it sent to destroy them or to save them? Did God not make an ark? Could they not have come aboard the ark? What did they choose to do when the word of God came? They chose their own desires, their own wickedness, their own evil imaginations. Remember? That's why God brought the floods in the first place, is because the hearts of men, their imaginations were evil continually. So when the word of God, which is good, came to heal, came to deliver, came to set the thing right, that desire, that evil, wicked desire, it rose up and they made choice. I'll say it to you like this. When Dan sat across the table and said, how long are you going to let this curse work? Now, I want you to interpret that question. Interpret that for me. Julie, interpret that for me. If I was to ask you, how long are you going to let that curse working in you? Now, number one, you'd have to be aware there's a curse working, right? I didn't know that, but God had prepared me for that question by showing me there was something working there. I couldn't quite put my finger on it, which is why I needed a word of truth to come to me. But when that word of truth came by way of a question, interpret that question. What? Why am I being asked that question? How long are you going to let this curse work? Anybody. Doesn't have to be Julie. Anybody. Want to take a shot at it? So you mean, the reason the curse was there is because I had been allowing it. Why had I been allowing it? Continue the interpretation. True. True. But there's one more thing you're missing. True. Why? There was something I loved there. So Julie was saying, repeat those things again real quick. There was, what are the four things you said? Come on, you can remember. Because I forget. People online can't hear us. Help her out. So, I didn't know the curse was there. That's true. I didn't want to leave it. Got to know why, though.
I loved it. There was something there I was in error on. There's a lot there. You could preach messages on that thing. I promise you. You know, when they talk about a big old bucket of sin, yeah, it was bigger than a boat. It was a boat. There's a lot there. But when the question came in truth. How long? How long? The truth of it is that I've come to you before to visit you. It was the word of the Lord, Keith. I've come to visit you before. I've come to mend this before. I've come to reveal this. He said in Isaiah, come, let's sit down. Let's sup together. Let's break bread together. Let's confide one with another. Let's conversate. Let's fellowship one with another. Let's talk one with another. I'll forgive you of your sins and I'll make you white as snow. What prohibits that? What is stopping that? Is there a will working? Are there spirits working? Well, let me tell you something. There's a will working in your spirit. How about that? And your spirit wants what it wants. I promise you, there are things your spirit wants. But the call of God continues. The call of God continues. And if you were to let it slip in this life, guess what God's going to do? God's going to find the one that wants it. God's going to find the one that wants it. That doesn't mean you're forever gone. It just means God may have to visit you again another time. But why? Why would you want to skip it now? Why not just get it right now? I'm not scaring you guys, am I? Because I'm telling you, this is how God does it. God wants to visit you right now. But sometimes we don't slow down enough. Sometimes we just don't take enough time to pray and meditate and think on the things of God so that God can talk to us and expound to us the truth of the kingdom. And in the process of that truth, you don't think he won't define the kingdom of Satan? You don't think he won't tell you what that curse is? You don't think he won't put your finger right on it? He'll tell you exactly what it is. He'll show you the whole parable of it. And here's the good news. Here's the part that just makes me full of joy and it makes me want to laugh. Laugh with joy. Because that's about the time God says, okay, you good now? I've showed it to you, right? You see how wicked this parable is? You just told me you don't want to be it anymore. Okay, good. Now we're going to burn it up. And then all hell breaks loose. My heart's desire. Oh, boy. But I love it. I love it, God. I love it. It's going to damn your soul, but you love it. It's going to keep you from missing the kingdom of God, but you love it. That angel of the first church loved it too, but God said, yeah, you love that. In order to love that, you left loving me. Boy, this is preaching to you now, right on your front doorstep. This ain't preaching where you can turn to your neighbor and say, he's talking about you. That's what they used to do in church. Yeah, that ain't for me. That's for you. You better listen. I promise you, when the word of God comes, it's going to always be for you, for the word of God in you. You follow me? He said, so out of your belly, these rivers of living water are going to come. And he spake this of the Spirit, which they that believed on him should receive. Should receive. Why? Because the Holy Ghost was not yet given. Wait a minute. Hold on now. I know what you're thinking. You just said the Holy Ghost is from the very beginning. But you ain't coming to the consciousness of it yet. That don't mean it don't exist. Whenever I dealt all those years with Rick, Holy Ghost was working in him, but it was not yet working in me. That didn't mean it had not come. It had just not come to me yet. It had not yet been given to me, but it had been for him. And then another witness came, and then another witness came, and then another witness has come. And there, now you've got multiple witnesses. You know why God does that? So we don't fall. So we're not working in error.
when you get one man up here thinking he is the cat's meow, the whole thing, and he's got the whole revelation and nobody else has got it like he's got it, he's in trouble. No, we need one another. That's why Keith and Dan and Rick and Brian and PK and Dave and myself, all of us, that's why God has knitted us so tightly together, because we need one another. And the Holy Ghost will work among us. And does it teach, Keith? Does it instruct? Does it sometimes reprove and rebuke? Does it sometimes correct and change? And boy, I'm going to tell you, man, if you want to sit in on those meetings, you got to put your big boy pants on, because it is not. You are not going to sit there and get away with falsifying the name of the Lord. If you don't come ready to sanctify the Lord, the Holy Ghost, go and get you. And you say, well, my God, I don't want the Holy Ghost to get me. I do. Get me, Jesus. Get me. That's like when I'm driving down in Bolingbrook and I'm driving down the road and God takes me into a vision and I see the heavens and the earth getting burned up by fire. You know what my prayer out of that came? I didn't go into that vision going, my God, he's going to destroy me. I'm evil. I'm wicked. I'm horrible. It's the end of me. No, you know what my prayer was in that? Burn it up, Lord. Because I knew what it meant. See, that's what God does. He'll tell you what it means. He'll give you the interpretation. He'll show you what it means. It's good. If you're sitting over here holding on to the kingdom of your own life, your own desire, your own world, the devil's world, the mind of the carnal, if that's your will, if that's your desire, if that's the unclean thing you love, it can be full of glory, but it'll be the glory of a man. And you can hold on to it all with all you have. You can hold on to it for the entirety of your life, but it will not get you anywhere in God. So what's the answer? You got to let it go. But you can't do this by just staying back there in principle number one. You got to move past repentance at some point. You got to go past faith in God at some point, man. You got to go past being baptized. I don't come to church anymore and sit here on the front row just waiting. Oh, God, please let Dan preach a word today that'll wash me and cleanse me and baptize me and save me from my wickedness. No. No, it's beyond that now. Because that's how God does it. God will take you beyond. Now that word of God, that might actually come to some of you with that prayer. It might actually say, oh my God, yes, Lord, I believe that. And it calls you to repent in the first principle. That would be amazing. But then somebody else be in a vision where they're in an apostle preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ and a deacon preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ and turning an entire city upside down for the glory of God. So it's not just to me, it's now going beyond, and it's saving the thing that God is after. You see my point? The Holy Ghost is needful. God wants to get that enemy out of your way so that he can begin to talk to you, make you a disciple, turn you into an apostle, turn you into a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ so you can preach the gospel to the world that God set in your heart. And guess what happens now when that word of God gets preached, man? It burns it up. Who do you think's burning up that heaven? Who do you think's burning up that earth if it's not the angel of the Lord? If it's not that burning one? If it's not the glory of Christ, if it's not the word of truth that has been sanctified, if it's not the angel of Jesus Christ, the angel of the Lord, if it's not him, who is it? Because you think you can do this by your own works. You ain't breaking no curse by yourself, I promise you. You will not come out of it. You will not break it. You will stay its captive. And you will try and you will muster and you will cry and you will plead and you'll shed your tears and God won't even hear you. Because secretly in your heart you love it. I'm talking from experience, boy, I'm going to tell you. God can't save a thing that doesn't want to be saved, Keith. Think about it. if you ain't ready to call upon the name of the Lord, he said, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you ain't ready to call upon the name of the Lord, ain't no saving getting done. If you're not ready for change, if you're not ready for what John's talking about right here, let me read you guys one more thing here. I'm going to quit. Psalms 36. I found this interesting. Psalms 36, verse 8 through, I believe, 12. They shall abundantly satisfied with the fatness of thy house, and thou shalt make them drink of the river of thy pleasures. For with thee is the fountain of life. Boy, David's talking here, isn't he? I told you the Holy Ghost was present. He's saying, with you is the fountain of life. Listen to what he says in this same verse. In thy light shall we see light. Woo, man, that'll preach. We're trying to get this thing. We're trying to obtain to this thing. We're trying to clean ourselves up before we come to Jesus. That's like saying you got to get cleaned up before you take a bath. No, you just come as you are. God already knows you're a dirty sinner. He already knows you've been defiled. He already knows you left your first love. He already knows that the reason you're a soul in an avatar in this life is because you fell away from him. He already knows it, Keith. And yet we still have this carnal mindset that thinks, if I just do a little bit of this and if I do a little bit of that, I can fix this. If you could fix it, you would have never broke it. If you could fix it now, you would have never left God to begin with. See, you're not catching that your lust got the best of you. Your lust got the best of you, and that's just the truth of it. Now, come to terms with that. Be okay with that. Does that make sense, Brad? Just face it. Man up to it and say, you know what? I did, God, I'm guilty. But now, God, I'm going to ask you for grace here. Let's go. I'm ready to go. It didn't get me nowhere. I tried to build my own kingdom. It didn't get me anywhere. I failed miserably. God burned it up. I need the Holy Ghost. In thy light, he said, we shall see light. Let me wrap it up by saying this. You know when you begin to learn the best things? You know when you, and I should say that in a little bit more of a clarification. You know when you really begin to learn? When the Holy Ghost comes. When the Holy Ghost comes, God begins to really talk to you. See, when you're a disciple, you still got a lot of carnality. There's still a lot of thoughts running amok in your mind about the which and the what and the how and what you got to do to make it happen. But when the Holy Ghost comes, God begins to set the whole house in order. All you got to do to that point is follow, because isn't that what the disciples did? Did they just not follow? Did they follow? They followed Jesus 3.5 years until what? Until it was time for his death, which he prophesied to him over and over again. Satan rose up in Peter, said, not going to happen. But it happened, just like Jesus said, because he never lies. And then when he's done in his resurrection, he appears to him and tells him, right before he's taken up, go tarry at Jerusalem and wait there until you are endued with power from on high. See, we don't have to figure all these things out to obtain that. We follow and we let that word of God be sown to us, and we let God work us through those principles until we are endued with power. And that's just the goodness of God, man. So what's the best advice for you? Sanctify the Lord. Glorify God. Do not give the devil credit for anything. Do not praise him. Do not magnify him. Just glorify Jesus. Sanctify the Lord. And magnify him,
And when he comes to the door of the temple, let him in. And don't be afraid of what you're going to lose. Because if God burns the whole thing up, you hear me? If he burns the whole thing up, he's only burning up the old. He's only burning up the old man. And in that burning up of the old, he's creating a new. That's what the Holy Ghost wants to do for you. You guys good with me tonight here? We went 50 minutes, plenty of time. It's a great promise. God's got great things in store. And God's no respecter of person. Amen? All right, guys. Love you guys.